Well, praise the Lord. It's mighty hot. Air conditioner broke down. Praise God. We'll get it fixed. I'm too comfortable in here anyways. I wouldn't go that far, Paulie. I think you know that. Not all people. Praise the Lord. You know, it was definitely a blessing for David to come down this past week, and seen a lot of things. Taught me a lot of things that I need to see. You know, one of the things that he talked about Thursday night was loving one another. And you know, one of the biggest things that I see, the only way I can love Paul, the only way that I can love Brad, the only way I can love Hope, the only way that I can love my children, the only way that I can love you guys is in Christ Jesus. With His mind. Can't do it with this carnal mind. You know, and I seen the importance. Seen the importance of that. But with that, I think I'm going to go to Corinthians 13. And this is the definition of charity. And it is something we can really look at and see if we're actually abiding in this or doing this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Endureth all things. That's a handful of stuff just right there. Just right there.
You started talking about love, and now you're talking about charity.
What am I talking about? Started out talking about love, now I'm talking about charity. Well, charity is agape love. Charity is a love of choice. You know, I know Linda, I was talking with Linda the other day, and one of her dogs is sick. One that she's not very fond of. You know, he pees all over the house, bites at her sometimes. But she still loves that dog. Even though she might not have liked that dog, she still chose to love and take care of that dog. You know, it's a simple choice. Love in the philios is based on how you make me feel. And agape love is a love of choice. You know, I look at Jesus being the perfect example of this. Jesus chose to go on that cross. Jesus chose to go on that cross, despising the shame. He was on that cross, open before everybody, naked and beaten. One of the things that he prayed for was, "Father, not my will be done, but yours." And as they were sitting there crucifying him up there on that cross, and I want to know the exact quote, Leo says, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And I might have messed that up. But that's love. The same people he healed, the same people that he gave deliverance to, the same people he ministered to, were the same people saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he went to that cross anyways. He went to that cross anyways. In open shame before everybody. And said, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do." That's love. You know, and one of the things that comes up in my mind now is that we were talking about in Revelation. Somebody bring me there. 12:11. Let's go to Revelation. "And they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." And they loved not their lives unto the death. You know, one of the things I'm looking at, we have the blood of the Lamb? Yes. Or I should say me. Do I have the blood of the Lamb? Yes. Do I have the word of his testimony, what he's done for my life? Yes. Do I have the third? Do I have the third? It didn't say, "Okay, two, you got two. Okay, come on in. That works." No. Love not their life unto the death. And that's something I know I got a long way to go, folks. If we aren't about laying down our lives for his, then we're seeking to save our own lives. And what does the scripture say? We'll lose it. How will they know? Jesus said, "They will know you're my disciples by your" what? "Love for one another." We have opportunity every day here to love one another. Not with the philios love, not to the, "Oh, you're so good, you're so great." That's not love. That's words of deceit. Telling somebody what they want to hear to feel better about themselves. But no, delivering the truth and the gospel and the freedom in Christ. It might be telling you what you need to hear. That rock in your heart that is getting in your way between you and the Lord. And a lot of times, they don't want to hear it. A lot of times, I don't want to hear it. And what do? We get mad at the messenger. We get mad at the messenger. But praise God, I'm glad there's people out there willing to tell us what we need to hear. It says to exhort one another. Prefer one another. That means telling you what you need to hear, whether you like me in it or not. Because that's love. That's what Jesus did. Remember the man that says, "Good master, what shall I do then inherit eternal life?" He says, "Why callest thou me good?" And he goes on listing the commandments. And he says, and Jesus loved him. Hey, you know what? Let's turn to that. Let's see here. Anybody know where that's at? I didn't think I was going here. Matthew 19. Thank you. All right. Let's start at 19:15. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Or 16. And behold, one came, said unto him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou will enter into life, keep the commandments." He saith unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus told him exactly what that man needed to hear. Exactly what was keeping him from the Lord and from eternal life in him. And he walked away. And he walked away. You know, are we willing to be that out there? Are we willing to have that love? I mean, if we don't put off this old nasty thing and love not our lives unto the death, how will anybody know? Christ. When we have many churches out here, guys, many. And a lot of people don't want to have anything to do with them. A lot of people say, there is no God. But if we were walking in the power of God, in love and obedience, showing them the gospel, and walking in that charity, as Christ did, they will know for sure that there is a God. There's no difference between me and anybody else out there except Jesus Christ. And I want to go to Peter. Peter 4. First Peter 4. And I was reading in this, and I was thinking about charity, and I was reading this. "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." It says, has ceased from sin. What's suffering in the flesh? That's loving not your life unto the death. That's laying down that carnal mind and putting on His mind. It says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. That's what it says to do. I mean, we can come in here Sundays. We can come in here on Thursdays. We can attend the men's Bible study on Tuesday's night. And that stuff's good because that helps you grow in faith. But if you're not putting it into practice, if not you're laying down your life, then it's good for nothing. What does the scripture say? To not be just hearers of the word, but doers also. But doers also. And I look at this past week as when I talked with Davies a lot. And I've seen how far I am off. But I rejoiced. And just in that short period of time, I started seeing things change. I started taking heed to his counsel and I started seeing things change. And that's the Lord's way. You know, I've seen at work how important it is to love one another, to put on that mind of Christ. And I've seen it flip from an absolute overwhelming mess that I let happen, that I wasn't diligent on. And because of my own judgments in my mind, of my own carnal mind thinking, has set that place there. Not giving the guys at work what they need to do the job. And I seen such a mess that it got into. But just like that, taking heed of that counsel and walking in Christ Jesus, I seen a 180 degree turnaround in 2 days. And that's not because of what I did. That's because of what the Lord's did. That's because of His counsel. That's because of His grace. See, I cheated. I prayed for all of them before I went in there. And I rebuked the demonic spirits. I rebuked the rebellion in that place. And I asked the Lord to give me some words that they may receive. And they did. And they did. And the Lord, praise the Lord for that. That's what He did. It was His way, not mine. And I see us in this building. And we have opportunity to go out there and grow. Every single one of us in this room have opportunity to go out there and grow and deliver that gospel that people need to hear. The only way that we can do that is by abiding in the vine, abiding in love, abiding in Christ Jesus, having that mindset. That's the only way it's going to work. But I know if yet we return at this reproof and hear it and choose the Lord to be Lord of our lives and lay down our own, that this can happen. But guys, it's up to you to make that choice. God's not going to do it for you. You have free will. If you hang on to that old carnal nature, it's going to kill you. And the opportunity that you will miss, that it might kill somebody else, because you are the branch that should be bearing fruit. I mean, think about that for a second, guys. It's scary. It's scary when we look at the opportunities that we have missed. Because we were what? Too busy about what? Ourselves. Ourselves. You don't know what's going to come about when you're walking into the obedience of the Lord and the fruit of that love extending out to the next person. You don't know. That's why it's important every day to put on that mind. Or every hour. Or every 30 minutes. Or every 10 minutes. Or whatever it takes. Because what about the next person that needs to hear the grace of the Lord? But I'll tell you right now, if you're about yourselves, you're not even going to see it. Because you're too busy about yourself. You're not about the Lord and His business. You know, our example is Jesus. He walked into perfect obedience like a laser beam to the Father. Perfect obedience. That's why His sacrifice was perfect. He was without sin. And you can do this if you really want to. It's important. What does the scripture say? Our life is but a vapor. Vapor. Gone that quick compared to eternity? So I challenge you guys to examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. To see if you are abiding in that vine. I don't know about you. For one, I don't want to get broken off. For two, I want others to know about how awesome the Lord is. And the deliverance that He has set me free in. I was bound to hell. I was bound to bondage. I was bound to drug addiction. Or demonic spirits, I should say. I was bound to this flesh. And it wanted to drag me down. It wanted to drag my soul down into the ground with it. Cursed. But Jesus Christ has set me free. And that's the gospel. And that's what we take out there. And it's important. I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss that for somebody else because I'm too stubborn and I'm too arrogant. I'm too prideful and I'm all about myself. I don't want that for you guys. I don't want that for people out there. I don't want that for me, and I don't want that for my family. I want them to know Jesus. The Lord's good. And I believe all of us in here have a testimony of how good and awesome and gracious the Lord is. Let's not take that talent and hide it in the dirt. Because at His coming, He will ask you, what did you do with it? What did you do with it? I'm going to leave it at that.
Now, sadly for many of us, the only thing that some people out there will ever see or know of Jesus Christ is what we show them. So it's important what we show them. The thing is that there is nothing insignificant in the kingdom of God. Just because it seems insignificant to you doesn't mean that it's insignificant. And you don't know what those things are. So you're not really equipped to judge what's insignificant and what's not. Unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you're operating in His mind with His Spirit, and let's look at John 3:17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. To the world out there, we want our deeds to be manifest, that they're wrought in God. We want Him to meet us, right? In our ministry to others. We want to establish a connection and a reconciliation between Jesus Christ and those out there that need to know Him. What sort of a deed is evil? It's the same thing as an evil heart. An evil heart of unbelief. Evil deeds manifest unbelief. And if you fancy yourself as sharing that great faith you have with those out there, but your deeds say, "I don't believe it," then sadly, you have not, in more than likely, you have not been reproved by the light. And there again, there is no insignificant. Indeed, there is no insignificant reproof. Reproof is designed to see to it that your manifest are wrought, your deeds are wrought in God, that they are faithful deeds, that they have accepted His plan and are ministering His plan. They are accepting His way and ministering His way. The chief about what they see, you know, we have about us in this nation today a whole bunch of people who say that you should leave politics and religion at home. Don't take them out in the public. Don't take them to the workplace. And that's the wise counsel. Well, that's the wise counsel of unbelief. I suggest you leave religion wherever it is, because it's valueless. There's no value to religion. Religion is a system by which you are trying to get God's attention and prove your worthiness. And the whole substance of what we've been going through here is that we're not worthy. You'll get used to it. Jesus is. Thank Him for it. Receive it. And walk in it. That's a relationship. That's not a religion. 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 You can't. There's no heart in religion. You can't. You cannot meet anybody in their need. When they're confronted with their need for a Savior, you can't meet it with a religion. It offers them nothing. Let's go to 1 John. Chapter 2. I'm going to get there eventually. 1 John chapter 2. Again, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now this isn't all that complicated, or it's not metaphoric. It is simply preferring other people before yourself. And I had many run-ins with the light pointing out to me how selfish I was and how all about pleasing and serving myself I was, how selfish I was. And that was an uncomfortable place in the light. And there may be people banging in the chat room right now, and you have gotten better at that. Yeah. Well, you know, Lord's working. Work in progress here. But that is idolatry. That, you know, that's the first commandment that rich guy that Phil was talking about. He, all this I've done since my youth. Well, except for the first one, the first commandment. The Lord your God is a jealous God. Thou shalt have none other God before me. He was an idolater. And Jesus knew it and went right to it, because it says Jesus loved him, right? Just beating around the edges doesn't help anybody. Causing them to have to be called to account and to make a decision. That's loving them. And you can't do that if you're hiding in the darkness. What people out there know about Jesus Christ is what they see in you. Are they seeing? What are they seeing in you? You know, we have the opportunity. We filled up the shed, the sheep shed we're in here. If these people start seeing in you what the Lord has put in you to show them, then we'll fill this place up. Yeah. And David wants to come back and have a sheep shed as a cabin, spend a couple weeks here, and let's, you know, do a revival, pack this place out. I'd love to do that. But we're not ready for that. We need, as a body, to run from that evil heart of unbelief. And the first place you can start is with showing everybody else out there preference. Preferring them over being selfish and about you. I remind you, Jesus commended his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were his enemy, he died for us anyway. And that should give us everything we need to make a difference in everybody else's life by what we're showing them.